The Mishnah said, "Well, loy sandal hamesumer. Why can't this be said?" In fact, it can't be worn on Shabbos or Yontif because of a ma'aseh shehoya where it indirectly caused the death of many, many people. And since it can't be worn, it can't be sent either. Abaye said, "A sandal hamesumer may not be worn, but it may be handled. It's not muksa. This can be learned from the fact that the Mishnah has to say that it can't be sent. If it's muksa, it clearly can't be sent. From the fact that it can't be sent, it must be that it's not muksa." The Mishnah said, "Loy minel she'enei tofur." In fact, such a shoe has no use. So obviously, it's aser. The Mishnah says, "Mishnah means to say that even if it's somewhat attached, it's still." A braisa says Rabbi Yehuda allows the setting of a black shoe that still needs to be smoothed, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow such black shoes because they're less than complete, therefore he wouldn't allow them to be sent either. The Gemara says, really don't argue, it all depends on the use and the custom of the locale that they are. In Rabbi Yehuda's locale, the leather faced the inside and smoothing was therefore unnecessary, but by Rabbi Yossi it was necessary. Mishnah says Zakal Kol Shani Yosim Bay Yomtiv. Zakmar of Shesh is allowed the sending of Tfilin on Yomtiv. Abaye asked, the Mishnah says anything that can be used on Yomtiv can be sent, and Tfilin can't be used on Yomtiv. Where it says the Mishnah should be understood as allowing anything that has a use even during the weekday, meaning it's a fully complete item that can be sent on Yomtiv. Abaye said, once we mention the topic of tefillin, we'll discuss it. If someone's traveling and wearing his tefillin on a Friday evening as Shabbos begins, he should cover them with his hand and continue to wear them until he reaches his house. Similarly, if he's in the Beis Medrash at that time, he should do the same thing. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Ika, asked, a braisa says that in those cases he may only wear them until he reaches the first house of the city, not all the way to his house. And for the Gemara, the braisa is discussing where the house is safe enough to leave the tefillin there. Abaye is discussing where it's not. In fact, the Gemara, if the house wasn't safe enough, even if he's not wearing the tefillin, he's allowed to put them on and wear them to his house. Gemara says the braisa is discussing where the house is safe from dogs and thieves. Abaye was discussing where the first house was safe from dogs, but not from thieves. We would have thought that most thieves in a Jewish city are Jewish, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that they'll steal tefillin. Abaye therefore teaches we can't assume that, and the tefillin should therefore be worn all the way to his house. Hanalach Perek Beitza Shanolda. Perek Yomtiv Perek Sheni. Zok the Mishnah B'siyata D'Shmaya. When Yomtiv falls on a Friday, one should not cook on Friday specifically for Shabbos. Rather, you should cook for Yomtiv, and if it is left over, it can be used for Shabbos. Zok the Mishnah, you're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yomtiv, and through that, you can cook on Yomtiv for Shabbos. Beishamai say the Erev Tavshilin has to consist of two cooked dishes. Beishil say one cooked dish is sufficient. They both agree that a roasted fish with egg on it is considered to be two dishes. Zok the Mishnah, if the Erev was eaten or was lost before all the preparations for Shabbos were complete, the halacha becomes as if no Erev was made. If even a drop of the Erev is left over, he may cook for Shabbos based on that small piece. Frek, the Gemara, where did we learn this concept of Erev Tavshilin? What's the basis for this rabbinic institution of Erev Tavshilin? So Shmuel said, the Pasuk says, Zoch HaShem HaShabbos HaKadosh. This teaches that one must do something, like make an Erev Tavshilin, to remember Shabbos when it's at risk to be forgotten, meaning when it falls immediately following a Yom Tov, when there may be no food left. Frek, Gemara, why did the Rabbanan institute the Erev? Rava said, so that he'll remember to make sure there's enough food for Yom Tov as well as for the Shabbos to follow. Rashi says, so that people will say, we're not even allowed to bake from Yom Tov for Shabbos, or clearly we're not allowed to bake from Yom Tov for a weekday. In fact, according to Rashi, it makes sense why the Erev must be made before Yom Tov, to teach that we're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov for Shabbos. However, according to Rava, the Erev should be allowed to be made on Yom Tov as long as it's done before the meal, so that it reminds one to leave over food for Shabbos. Mar said, that's right. The only reason it must be done before Yom Tov is so that it not be forgotten to be done altogether. Zochni Mar Beliezer said the source for the concept is from the Pasuk that says, this teaches that baking and cooking may be added onto something that has already begun, but can't be started new. So that's why you make the Erev that has already begun. The Rabbanan instituted the Erev to this item so that it has already begun. A braisa says that Eliezer was once giving shir on Yom Tov and groups of people began leaving during the shir. He was upset at each group saying that they were forsaking Olam Haba by leaving the learning, and they're changing it in for Olam Hazeh to go home and eat. He highly praised the group that remained all the way till the end. Fakmar, how can be upset at them? There's an obligation of Simchas Yom Tov. And furthermore, he followed his own view that the obligation is optional, not mandatory. As we find in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer says that one may be yotze the mitzvah with either eating and drinking, or by sitting and learning. Rabbi Yeshua says that they should be split. Chetzi l'Hashem, meaning learning, and chetzia lachem, eating and enjoying. So both views are based on the fact that the pasuk says atzeres lachem, and another pasuk says atzeres tia lachem. So is it lachem or is it lachem? So Rabbi Yehuda says it means either fully for Hashem or fully lachem for yourself. And Rabbi Yeshua says it means it should be split. So in the above story, Rabbi Eliezer quoted a pasuk which told the people to send food to those who had nothing prepared. Rav Chisda said, this refers to people who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Others said, this refers to people who didn't have food with which to leave an Erev. However, if someone did have food but he just didn't make an Erev, he is negligent and you don't have to help him out. Zakti Gemara, the pasuk he quotes, ends off by saying, the joy of Hashem is your security. Rabbi Yechon, the name of Rabbi Eliezer, son of Rav Shimon, explained, Hashem says to the Eden, borrow so that you can properly honor the Yontif, and trust in me that I will repay your loan. Zakhti Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan and Elazar, the son of Shimon, said, if one wants his property to last, he should plant eider trees in them. They're expensive, and people will therefore always know who they belong to, which will prevent someone else from coming and claiming the field as their own. A Braisa says this theory as well.